What about the spin-off of Night Court, China Shop? I enjoyed Bull on that show.
Mm-hmm.
That was good, too.
Did you?
Oh, no, it was China Beach. Sorry.
I don't think that saved it. I don't think that saved it at all.
Yes, it did.
Nope.
I totally won.
Nope. People were tolerating the first version, and then you gave it a spin, and it was just like, no, we're done.
They loved it.
All right. I'm gonna.
You don't know how many people spit out their coffee just at this moment.
In disgust.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
And I'm Ian Boothby. And Dave and I just came from dinner. Dave wanted to get a piece of rhubarb pie.
Rhubarb strawberry pie.
And they told us, I'm afraid, well, first of all, they went, yes, sir.
Yes, sir, yeah.
But, sir, we have no ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave went, okay. And then they I said,
do you have bananas?
And they said, yes.
We have no bananas.
I don't get that reference. I'm way too young.
Okay.
Then they went away and they came back and they said, we don't have any pie.
The of the kind you want.
Right.
They had pie.
Yeah. They had humble pie.
We had humble pie.
You could eat some crow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was it.
That was all the pie they had.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of other pies.
They have that kind of pie that they served in the help. Mm. They had that kind of pie.
Mm.
So you said, no pie for me.
No pie for me, Argentina.
Right. So Dave right now is operating at a lower sugar level than he would have liked.
Well, yeah, because one, no ice cream, which if you eat pie, it should be a la mode, ideally.
That is what the antidote to pie is.
But
pie is toxic.
Is that right?
For the most part. You can eat a piece of pie, and your system can deal with it. But ideally, ice cream is the antidote to pie.
And then the other choices weren't that great, because they had chocolate pecan. And to be honest, I'm not a nut pie fan.
Okay.
So I don't really want any nuts in my pies.
All right.
And then they had bumbleberry.
Made up.
But
sounds
that,
made up.
The problem with bumbleberry.
No, that's like razzleberry. It doesn't exist.
Because I'm a monoculturalist.
Oh, okay.
Like, I only want like.
So then who are you racist towards?
I just want grass on my lawn. I don't want to share my grass with dandelions and clover and stuff like that.
Oh, you really should share it with dandelions for the sake of the bees. But continue, please.
Bees like the clover.
Okay, that's fine. But also they like dandelions. It's important. No, the bees are important nowadays. Okay,
yeah,
but
no,
go ahead.
It's fine. There's lots of dandelions everywhere else. It doesn't have to be in my lawn.
Fair enough.
And then pies. I kind of like a straight pie. Like I want like a rhubarb pie.
Yeah.
I want a blueberry pie. And so I was kind of bending my rule a little bit. And
right.
I was having a strawberry rhubarb pie.
Right.
That's kind of wrong, but okay, I'll deal with it.
For me, that's wrong just for two reasons. One, strawberries, and two, rhubarb. Both terrible things to put into pies, but that's just me.
I love rhubarb, but I find strawberries are too mushy in a pie.
Okay.
Right? But I was stretching it a little bit because I wanted a pie.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with bumbleberry is like you're just getting like a mix of stuff all mashed together. It's like when people get Slurpees and then they have like five different flavors.
Yeah.
And that's gross.
Is it?
Yeah.
I disagree.
Really? You like it?
Well, I don't have that many flavors. What I do enjoy, I like nowadays with the Slurpees,
mm-hmm.
and I'm trying to not have as many Slurpees as I used to, but when I do,
aren't we all?
They have the sour cherry, which I do enjoy, and then you mix that with a little Coke.
Yeah.
You get a nice sour cherry Coke.
Okay, that's fine. That's two flavors is fine. Like I always have grape and Coke. That's my go-to
Slurpee. That's a grope.
That's right. I like groping.
Yeah.
Are you sure it's not a groke?
Is it?
Yeah, whatever.
I don't know. Name it whatever you want.
And then I like that. But it's just like my daughters, they would get like, the thing was when they were little, I would buy them a Slurpee.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because they're little kids.
Instead of milk.
I would buy them the biggest one.
Right.
The pitcher-sized Slurpee cup.
Right. And they'd be like, we need formula, Papa.
and you say,
no, this is less
and
expensive.
Then they would fill it, you know, with all these various levels of different flavors. Which is fine if you drank it like instantaneously,
mm-hmm.
but you don't. So they all kind of seep together into one kind of, I don't know what it is.
Well, this seems like.
And if they don't drink it.
Yeah.
And they say, Dad, do you want it? You're like, sure, because I like Slurpee. I'll have more Slurpee. Then you're like, I don't like Slurpee that much.
Yeah, because
this
not
is
good.
Foul.
Well, here's the thing. Like, remember when you were a young man? Hey, by the way, we're talking about our childhood, so take a drink.
Take a drink.
You know, of Slurpee, perhaps, if you want. But please, a maximum of two flavors. So when you were a kid and you're watching ads for Play-Doh and everyone's having fun with Play-Doh
mm-hmm.
and they're always mixing the colors together, Of course, if you do that, now your Play-Doh's messed up forever. You can't take it apart.
Yeah, you can't
take it apart.
You can't separate those molecules.
So Play-Doh is setting you down an alley that has no return to it.
They know that,
like,
though.
Yeah, it's like a one-way street. It's not like Lego. You can't like put it together and take it apart.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden you do this as a kid. You're having a good time. Now let's take it apart. Now my Play-Doh's all messed up.
Yeah,
exactly. Now my snowman looks like a rainbow. This is terrible.
And eventually it is gray.
Yeah, then it all makes this horrible gray situation. You know, thanks a lot, Play-Doh. You jerk.
That's what they want, though, because then you have to go to your parents and beg them to buy you the refill.
No. Then what your parents do is go, we're just going to make our own out of flour and salt.
Oh, that's always successful.
Yeah, that's always good.
And water.
Yeah.
People, it's not just flour and salt, just so you know.
Now, here's the other thing about Play-Doh. Mm-hmm. Like, Play-Doh just seems like a con. One, they try to make it so you mix the colors, but you realize you can't.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can't ever get them back, so boo. And, like, two, it's like, make a sculpture. It's beautiful. Oh, great. I'm going to leave this for 10 minutes. Now it's hard. Now your Play-Doh doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
Well, what? Why didn't you tell me this was also a thing?
Yeah.
Like, everything about Play-Doh is use it once and then you're done.
You're done.
Do not reuse Play-Doh.
Well, yeah, because if you get, like, the barbershop one.
Yeah.
And then you squeeze it through the guy's head and then his hair grows. And then you cut it with the plastic scissors that come with the kit.
Yeah.
And then it is laser and it gets all dried up. And yeah, and it's like immediately, yuck.
Whereas,
and who wants to clean up stuff like that when you're a kid, by the way?
But it seems it seems like when you have a product like that, it should be better than the thing it's replacing. And what that thing it's replacing as Play-Doh is plasticine. Plasticine, which does not go bad. Plasticine you can leave out for as long as you want. And they decide, like, we're going to make plasticine, but worse. And we're going to charge more for it.
Yeah.
And it's called Play-Doh. Enjoy. But then my mom found out how to make it with, like, flour and salt.
And water.
Yeah, and it was the kind that you'd be
using. Don't get the water.
Yeah, and you'd be using it, and then it would get into your skin and really burn your hands. You get real deep salt wounds.
That sounds great.
Yeah, it was great. Well, you could also eat it if you were a kid and you just like eating salty dough, you know? And what kid doesn't enjoy some salty dough?
Every kid enjoys that.
Yeah, every kid like who goes like, I love pretzels, but you know what I hate about it? How crispy they are and how delicious.
You can get soft pretzels, though.
Yeah, not that soft. Like just dough and salt. You know, that's basically what it was.
I've had soft pretzels once in my whole entire life.
Uh-huh. Did you talk to your doctor?
I thought they were really good. I thought they were good.
Uh-huh.
But for some reason, I never, like, ever thought about having them again.
No. It feels like the kind of thing that, you know, they always say, like, when you're in New York, you got to have yourself one of those pretzels. And, like, you try it and you go, like, all right. Oh, well, you haven't had it with mustard.
Oh,
okay.
Is that good?
Well, let's see. Well, you know what mustard tastes like?
I like
you
mustard.
Know what a pretzel tastes like?
Sure.
Put those together. That's what it tastes like. It's okay, but it's
what
not
kind of mustard is it, though? Is it like the yellow mustard?
Yellow,
like
yellow mustard, yellow yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm all over that.
Okay. You're all over the mustard?
Because pretty much everything I eat is basically a transportation system for mustard inside me.
Okay, such as?
My favorite things. Hamburgers?
Yeah.
Hot dogs?
Yeah.
Sandwiches?
Sausages?
What about sausages?
Sausages are good with mustard. Like a banger? Like a
British
banger?
Well, I usually use ketchup with sausages, but okay.
Crazy man. That's crazy talk. Okay, go ahead.
But yeah, that's like...
Meatballs?
Those are my favorite things.
Do you have like a little meatball and mustard?
No. The only one that falls outside of that is pizza. That's my other favorite food that doesn't... But it has no mustard connection.
Okay.
I once had I don't know if I told this story, but I'll tell it again.
Tell us again about the pizza.
I had this friend, a girlfriend. She was a girlfriend.
Okay.
When I was in grade 6.
Did you know she was your girlfriend? Because you're very bad at reading signals. Were you aware she was your girlfriend at the time?
No. I thought we were just friends. What's...
You know your wife, like, is your girlfriend, right?
Is she?
I'm just saying. I know you're very bad at picking up signals.
So you're saying I shouldn't have had her sign corporate papers to incorporate us into a business together?
I just remember...
It's a different sort of partnership?
I just remember on your wedding day, you turning to me and just going, she likes me, right?
What the hell's going on here? I'm having trouble picking up the signals.
I don't quite get this.
I think she likes me. And so, this girl said to me when she goes, you like peanut butter, right? I was like, yeah, I like peanut butter. And you like mustard. I said, sure, I like mustard. She goes, you'll love peanut butter and mustard. You should try that one day. So I was like, okay. So one day I knew that.
And you think it's some romantic thing and like you're in.
Yeah, that's right.
Listen, I'm really bad at picking up signals.
We go together.
But I'm even worse at like misinterpreting signals.
We go together like peanut butter and mustard. So then... I knew.
And there's a guy over there who's like, hot dog and jam. That's that couple. And they're like thinking that's going to be good. I'm like, oh, if only you swap partners.
That's right. What about that couple over there? Hot dog and donut. They got into it rather well, right?
Think about it.
Not really.
Think about how horrible that would be.
It's terrible. So,
especially if it's like a Bismarck.
What's interesting is I must have known that it wasn't something that I should do because I waited until my mom and dad were away from home.
Yeah.
And I got
a young man of your age, mm-hmm. once the parents are away, that's the time you break out the mustard.
Mustard and peanut butter comes out of the... So I, got out some bread, buttered it, put the
peanut
butter
on it. Go in the bathroom, turn the water on loud, then have yourself some peanut butter and mustard. What are you doing in there? I'm busy, Dad.
There's no one home.
I'm busy. Get out of there. What are you doing? Peanut butter and mustard, Dad, if you must know.
I went to... Dad, you mustard. I went to... So I buttered it, put the peanut butter on it, put the mustard on it.
That might have been the mistake, putting the butter on, but look, keep continuing.
Oh, sure.
You added a third party okay. to this.
Slapped it together,
yeah.
took a bite,
yeah.
threw it in the garbage can. Nope.
Did not cut the mustard.
This will not go. This will not do, I said to myself. I didn't say anything to her about it. I just was like...
You just broke up with her.
Kind of. My parents moved.
Oh, it was so bad that you got your parents.
Very passive-aggressive.
Yeah,
I'm very passive-aggressive.
Yeah, if there's anything that you don't like to eat, you will actually move.
Yeah. It's not that. I just wanted to break up with her. I didn't know how to do it. So
yeah.
I convinced my parents that we should move to a more expensive house with a pool.
Oh, okay.
No, I didn't have a pool at the time. But no, we moved. So.
No, it's good. Like you trade like a girlfriend at that
trade
age
up.
For a pool?
Trade up.
That's a good trade.
There was no pool. I'll be honest. But there's
okay.
No,
but later there was a pool.
Later there was a pool. My dad added a pool later on.
And that's a way to get a girlfriend. Is like you're the kid with the
is
pool.
Is that how that works?
Oh, yeah. If you're the kid with the pool in the summertime. Johnny girlfriend a lot. Like even
thanks,
if even,
thanks for telling me that now.
Look, even if you don't have even if she's not your girlfriend, you can invite girls over and because they're swimming.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Should have.
Who cares?
I should have done
just,
that.
You can sit there and read your trollop like in your beach chair like a huge nerd while the girls are swimming and it's still like that's a pretty good day.
The best thing to read by the pool was Archie or Richie Rich. Those were poolside reading.
Mm-hmm. Because you don't care if they get damp?
Well, you don't care what happens to them, and you're laying in the boiling sun, so you don't have a lot of time.
Now, how many Richie Rich comics would you say you've read in your life?
Quite a few.
Like, would you say more than 50?
Oh, yeah.
Would you say more than 100?
Most likely.
Less than 500, more than 100?
Yeah, around there.
Okay, let me ask you this. Name any Richie Rich story.
That I like?
And you can remember. Can you remember any Richie Rich story?
Oh, yeah.
What? Name one.
One of my favorites is this one where Cadbury and Richie Rich.
I can't remember any.
Are playing sports together.
Mm-hmm.
And what's great about it is Richie's playing.
And Cadbury's the butler.
Cadbury's the butler. And then Cadbury hits the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And he hits it towards the window of the mansion. So then he runs into the mansion, runs upstairs, serves tea to Mrs. Rich, and then catches it in a glove. And then he goes back outside again and he's playing as Richie. And then he kicks a football through the window. And he comes back again, and he serves her tea again, but he's holding his hand, and he catches the ball. And she's like, what was that, Cadbury? And he says, just cooling the tea, madam. And he gives it to her. I love that story.
Aww.
One of the other ones I like quite a bit is one where Richie Rich is on a boat, and some guys,
some Somali pirates show up.
Yeah, Somali pirates. It's called Captain Rich. And, it's some guys who work in the boat. They take it over.
At the end,
Richie's
just weeping openly. He couldn't take it.
He couldn't
That's
take
fine.
It, no. And, Richie Rich has to like foil them. He has to foil them in like a way that a kid would. He can't like fight them.
Home Alone style.
So he puts a sheet up along the side of the boat that says something, has something written on like help or there's pirates. It's actually a long treatise that he puts. Help, I believe there are pirates on board this ship if you wouldn't mind coming to help us.
Okay, how many pirates?
Five.
Okay, here's what you do. You go up to pirate number one,
okay.
And you'll say to him, I'll give you $1 million to kill those four guys. and then he does it, right? And then you say, like, that's great. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you another $1 million to just break your own legs so I can get the hell out of here. And I'm leaving the $1 million right in front of you. Because, you know, Richie packs that money with him at all times.
You are talking like Reggie, not like Richie.
Okay.
You're being a Reggie Warbucks, whatever his name is.
What is Reggie Morbucks?
I can't remember his name.
I would say Morbucks is
Reggie,
a good name.
Yeah, it could be. Wanda.
Wait, why is Reggie the jerk name in comics?
Yeah.
Like, he's the jerk name in both Archie and Richie Rich.
I think it's like Reginald, which is associated with sort of
snobby.
Yeah, snobbery.
Snobby.
Yeah.
How many?
Although Archie is Archibald.
True. How many super millionaires are there in the Richie Rich averse?
There's Made of Money.
Yeah, there's Reginald.
There's
now, they're not related, right? Like, Reginald.
Reggie and Richie are related.
Okay, so wait. So are you?
He's like a cousin.
Let me ask you this question.
Okay.
So do the riches come from money? Like the dad, does dad work for a living or are they just like.
He works for a living.
But they come from
money.
He
has like a lot of industry. But it doesn't really say. I would assume he inherited it, but has continued to make
money. Well, I'm saying if your cousin is insanely rich as well,
yeah.
Probably your family is moneyful.
Has all the money in the world?
Yeah.
Is all the tea in China?
Yeah. Like, the only thing I know about Richie Rich is that in a grit ad, Richie asks Dad, like, where do we get our money from?
Yeah.
And he goes, I sold grit as a kid.
Is that where it all came from?
And then he says, and then Richie goes, like, so where'd you get the money? Well, the guy who owns grit molested me, and I sued him, and I got the whole company. That.
I should have turned the page.
Yeah, and that started our family fortune.
Do you know what grit is? What grit newspaper was?
Like, I know it was. Are you asking me, or do you know?
No.
I assumed it was kind of a rural type of newspaper. It was like America stories. Like stories like, you know, heroic dogs and why our countries swell.
Because I delivered newspapers. I delivered newspapers and we bought the paper and we sold it to a customer.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? And so I would deliver papers for a month and then I would get my collection book and then I would go and I would collect money from that customer.
And they'd go, oh, I wish I had that money. I don't know. Right.
And then what they paid me, I would give half of that or whatever to the newspaper, and then I would have half for myself.
Okay.
And then half of that half I would give to my mom, and then I would get half of that for my allowance.
Does it seem like that does not exist anymore? Like, does it seem like that can't exist now?
Kids don't deliver the papers anymore in that way. It's mostly adults who drive around in cars who deliver
papers. Yeah, that's completely what it is. When did that happen? When did all of a sudden it become adults?
I don't know, because for a long time I went without getting a paper delivered just because I was shiftless and wasn't living anywhere.
Because
I couldn't read. Living anywhere where it seemed sensible to have newspapers, you know, but we still get the paper delivered.
Mm-hmm.
And because I like to sit and read the paper in the morning. But,
you want to ignore your family.
It's an interesting change. Well, we all eat by ourselves, it seems, because Lisa gets up at 5:30 in the morning. I'm not getting up at 5:30 to eat with her. Screw that.
That's a nice answer.
I love her, but come on, there's a limit.
Exactly.
Love has a limit.
Absolutely. And how early is that limit?
5:30, apparently. 5:30 is the limit.
Would you get up at 6 for her?
No.
6:30,
yeah.
Get up at 6:30?
I get up at 6:30 anyway, yeah.
You love her 6:30.
I love her 6:30.
You don't love her 5:30.
I don't love her 5:30. Well, let's just say, if I had to, you know, if she needed a ride to the airport and then I had to get up at 5:30, of course I would get up at 5:30.
You'd give her cab fare?
No, I would get up and drive her to the, I love her that much. I just don't love her 5:30 every day.
Yeah.
Because I don't like getting up early.
You're what we call a 6:30 man.
I'm what's called a night person.
Mm-hmm.
Because my wife's a morning person.
Right.
She likes to get up early. She likes to get up. Have her breakfast by herself. She likes to have her breakfast by herself.
Right.
She actually doesn't want me there.
Mm-hmm.
I am like an inconvenience if she's having breakfast.
Okay.
So she doesn't even want. I prove my love to her by not having breakfast with her.
Right.
That's how much I love her. I love her so much that I put off eating.
Okay. And you're sure about this? She's not just saying,
oh, no.
It's fine, hon.
You can sense it. Oh, no. You can sense it.
So when you actually do get up at that time for good times, it's get back to bed. It's
basically, because
she gives you a nice hot glass of NyQuil and back to bed you go.
Because she doesn't, because she systematically reads the paper in a certain way.
Okay.
And then if I'm there, I'm like, can I have the part with the funnies in it? She's like, ah, can't read the obituaries now because Mr. Funny Papers wants his comics to read while he's having breakfast.
And until you read them, they're not really dead.
And there you go.
It's Schrodinger's obituaries. Yeah.
And then I like to read the sports section, which is at the back. But the province is all connected, so you can't like dole out the sports section to me because you lose the front page. So, I am just in the way. And I know that.
And is she gone by the time you're up?
No, she's still there. She's just watching murder shows and doing Facebook at that time of the morning. So
murder and Facebook in the morning.
Murder and Facebook is her. She watches the Discovery ID, I believe the channel's called. It's basically all murder.
Well, let me say this. You know, a hip hop artist she might enjoy is Ghostface Killa
from the Wu-Tang.
You got your face, and then you got your killing, and that seems like the two things she likes there. So maybe she'll enjoy that.
Can I just say how much I love that name?
Ghostface Killa?
Yeah. And that it's Killa with an A-H. Yeah. This is a fantastic name. What other rappers have a great name like that? Seriously.
Witchy Poo Killa?
No.
Werewolf Stabba Killa?
No.
Okay.
You're just making them up.
I am.
Yeah.
Snoop Dogg is pretty good.
No.
You don't like Snoop Dogg?
No, it's terrible.
Oh, no. Snoop Dogg's coming by. Oh, that sounds great. I'd like to see Snoop Dogg.
Awful.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's up to you then.
Yeah,
like any of the ices. You don't like the ice cubes. You don't like the iced tea.
Nope.
You don't like the vanilla ice.
Nope.
Okay, fine.
Now, there's not a lot that I think are like really, really
Three
great
Blind
names.
Ice, that trio of rappers that were all blind.
I kind of like LL Cool J because it's so awkward.
Yeah?
It's like hard to say. Like, it's a cool name that no one can pronounce. LL. Hey, LL Cool J.
And then LL Cool J's on NCIS. So LL's on NCIS.
Is that where he's acting
now? I believe so. It's that or JAG or some shit.
Okay.
Like, it's one of those ones where it's like, there's like NCIS and then there's like NCIS and then like some extra business on the end. Like, they spun off into something.
Okay.
And like, well, that's not necessary at all. Like, at all. We don't need any of that.
NCIS CID.
And now you got your listeners and you got your mental. It's enough. We're done. You know, so he's psychically and then he's can hear. And then the fake psychic is that guy. And the other fake psychic is this guy. And this guy's in the past. And all right.
All those shows have a time limit that they can be enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
All of them. Because once you get the gimmick, then it's you're done with it.
Well, here's the thing about Law and Order. You see a stand-up comedian's in it.
Yeah,
they're the killer.
That's
always.
A rule. What's that rule called?
It's the Larry Miller rule.
The Larry Miller rule.
I think
right.
He has been the murderer many, many times.
Well, he was like the best, one of the best ever suspects, like murder suspects on that show.
Yeah, he's good.
He was really good.
What was the show that John Larroquette was always like? He was the killer.
Night Court.
Yeah, he was a killer on Night Court. Yeah, he kept killing the older bailiff ladies.
That's right.
Until until Bull stopped him. That's right. Yeah, that was how that worked.
That's right. What about the spinoff of Night Court, China Shop? I enjoyed Bull on that show.
Mm-hmm.
That was good too.
Did you?
Or no, it was China Beach. Sorry.
I don't think that saved it. I don't think that saved it at all.
Yes, it did.
Nope.
I totally won.
Nope. People were tolerating the first version, and then you gave it a spin, and it was just like, no, we're done.
They loved it.
All right. I'm gonna.
You don't know how many people spit out their coffee just at this moment.
In disgust.
They were sipping it.
You know why
they're
so
and they
why?
Just laughed?
Because their damn spouse got up at the same time they did. And now they can't read the paper. It's terrible.
Damn it.
It's absolutely terrible.
Have you never felt that? Like, you never felt like you were in someone's way? And they love you.
Yeah.
Like, you're in their way.
Yeah, sure. I guess so. Yeah. I guess so.
You just know it. And you're kind of like, well, this is dumb. Why did I get up? I should have stayed in bed. I'll come later when you finished with the table.
Uh-huh.
When you finished hogging the table, I will come and I will have my breakfast. And you can be watching murder shows and
I guess nowadays
reposting things
we all
on
have
Facebook.
So many little screens that I'm not in the way. Or like, you know, I'll check a Facebook and so, you know, Pia can watch the news and then she's checking something on some other device and I could check something on a fourth device if I felt like it. We're fine. Like, there's no getting each other's way on that. We're both in our own little interworlds.
I guess
occasionally showing each other cat videos.
But we eat at the table, so
ugh. Yeah, that's your problem.
There you go.
You see, that's the sign of a sad family is a table.
No, that's not
what
a sign of a sad family.
What you got to do is get yourself a gigantic couch.
You were wrong.
L-shaped couch.
You were wrong.
And you got to have a huge TV and then never talk to each other.
Everyone, every friend who's come to our house who has come from a house that did not eat family dinner together loves coming to our house for family dinner.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
What else are they going to say?
No, and they're not saying to me.
This is terrible.
They're not saying that to me. I just know from my daughters that how much they appreciate it.
Listen, I know how much you dislike the Algonquin Round Table.
I don't dislike it.
You've been bashing Dorothy Parker on almost every one of these episodes. And now listen to Johnny set up a table.
I think
let me say this to you.
All right.
The King Arthur table, that is the best of the round tables. And even that, his best friend had sex with his wife.
Sir Lancelot.
Yeah, you know why you do that?
Lancelot.
Yeah, here's what.
Lance.
I hear it.
His name, it's right in there. He should have known right away.
I totally get it. But here's the problem. If you have a nice sense.
Lance.
Okay, that's great. A lot. You have a table and you're all sitting together all the time. Mm-hmm. Someone's leg's going to hit someone else's leg.
Sure.
When they had a couple of drinks, something's going to happen. You're setting yourself up for a table. If they all had,
I wouldn't know it. I wouldn't pick it up.
Here's what you got to do: have a long couch. If it was the Knights of the Long Couch, then Lancelot's on one end, and she's on the other.
Guinevere.
Never a twain shall meet.
Guinevere.
Yeah, and you know when the twain would have met in Mark Twain's Connecticut Yankee and King Arthur's Court. That's when the twain would meet with the King Arthur.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I see.
That was a pretty good tie-in.
Yeah.
No, that was better. Oh, Johnny China Beach.
The character's
don't even start.
The character's name is not Twain in the story.
No, but it was written by Mark Twain. Mm. No. Nope, sir.
Shrug.
No. No, sir.
Audible shrug.
No, sir. I stand by that. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury.
It was no...
China Beach.
It was no China Shop, China Beach.
Okay, fine. You go off on your Dana Delaney tangents,
Ooh,
my friend.
Delaney.
Yeah. She was pretty, eh?
She was tasty.
Yeah, good for her. Well, I don't want to go tasty. What the hell? We're not going to do that.
Tasteful?
We're gentlemen. Don't be like, she's tasty. Come on.
Why? It was a compliment.
First, it starts
it wasn't
with
an insult.
No longer having
Listen.
Breakfast with your wife. Now you're calling Dana Delaney tasty. And I see where this goes. You're getting a little Lancelot-y here, and I don't
funny.
Like the way it's going.
It's funny how you're, like, I don't know. I don't think Lisa has ever eaten with us at breakfast time, besides like a special family breakfast.
Have you ever seen her eat?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
But when the girls were young, we always ate breakfast together. Like always, every day.
Right, because you didn't trust the girls.
But
they stole.
But now we don't really eat breakfast together at all anymore. Like, because sleep is more important than breakfast, for one thing. Like, I remember that too when I was a kid. Like, I loved having breakfast, Sunday breakfast with my parents. My dad would make pancakes. We'd have bacon and eggs with pancakes. That was awesome. Like,
cool.
But then eventually, sleep was more important. Like, I'd rather sleep than get up early.
I don't know if you'd rather sleep, but you'd rather stay up late. Like, staying up late is the key.
Yeah, that's a fun part.
Yeah.
Watch Saturday Night Live. For some reason, terrible Saturday Night Live was more important than really good pancakes.
And then, this is my problem with that. And then it's followed by SCTV.
SCTV was on Fridays.
I don't know.
Yeah. SCTV came after the Johnny Carson show on Friday nights.
Oh, I'm not sure about that. I've got to double check.
You double check it because I'm right.
Okay. Oh, I can't check now. We'll check, check later. We'll check later. But yes, I think they aired it.
Because you could watch Fridays while Johnny Carson was on, and then watch SCTV.
SCTV Network 90, the 90-minute version you're talking about?
Start at 12:30.
Okay, we're gonna check back on that, and there we go. Those of you that might be listening now and going like, this show sounds a bit more rambly than normal. you might be going, did you guys record another show right before this? Well, yes, we did. We just recorded the last of our Completely Beatles.
The ultimate episode of Completely Beatles.
That we know of.
Yeah.
We can't predict the future. Maybe someone...
Never say never. That's what James Bond said.
And then he did another film. And people went, no, we're good. We're fine with you doing that. Never say never. We're fine.
Don't remake your worst film. That's the...
Yeah, that is a bit of a problem, isn't it?
That's a problem indeed.
Yeah, one, remaking a film you did when you were younger and handsomer.
And that sucks.
That's flaw one.
And it wasn't a great film. And then
it's like one of the worst.
It's a boring film.
Yeah, it's a stinkeroo. And then you're stinkerooing it too, but now you're older.
It's the first one I saw.
What, Never Say Never or Thunderball?
Thunderball, yeah.
Okay. Let's say one of the best posters...
I don't know if I've seen it.
The poster is him with a jetpack, which makes it look like this is going to be pretty good.
There's a jetpack in the film. That's right.
Opening scene. Yeah.
2 minutes of jetpack.
Yeah.
That he flies over a fence, I think.
The film should have just been called 2 minutes of jetpack.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you got the jetpack. You keep going with the jetpack.
It's funny that's called that because in WordPress, I'm going to kind of nerd out a little bit here with the internet.
Please do.
When WordPress, like on your WordPress site, there was some kind of program on there, a plugin called Jetpack. And I've never understood what it is or what it does. It's just there, and I'm always updating it. But I never know why, what it's for. It's just like the jetpack in James Bond. It must be it's probably named after that jetpack.
Could be.
Because it's this is useful.
Here's the thing that I'm updating the most on my iPhone that asks for the most updates.
Okay.
Take a guess. Let's go. Like on an iPhone, what's the thing that would take the most updates? Like almost like every 2 weeks, there's an update for this thing.
Netflix.
My level. You're absolutely right.
What's that?
A level.
A level?
Yeah, like a level. Like as in, like you put it on something and see if it's level. It's got that bubble in the middle.
Oh, okay.
That. I've got one of those apps. I don't know if I have it on this phone, but I had that one of those apps. And seriously, every 2 weeks, update. What update? It's a bubble that goes in the middle when it's level. There's nothing to update.
It has to recalibrate.
Completely. We're done.
It has to recalibrate.
Well, it does when you like lay it down.
Because then it's off level.
Sure.
But if you lay it down, it's not necessarily on a level surface.
I don't know. It doesn't matter. Like, you're wrong. Listen, you don't need any update like software. Like, there's nothing new. There's nothing new in the world of being level. A new type of level has not been invented. It's level or it's not. Bubble. It's still a bubble.
Yeah.
There's not different colored bubbles. There's not like a little happy face that goes in the bubble. There's no other things around the bubble. It's just the bubble.
Yeah.
And it's like it's updating the level all the time.
Sure.
It's stupid. That one, I don't call anything stupid in my life. I don't like, but this is the stupidest. I think to the point where I did get rid of it because I'm just like, nah, screw it. Things will be crooked. I don't care. I'm not leveling this up anymore. I can't. Nope. I'm not entering a password to level to upgrade my level. No, sir.
It's a free app, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a frap.
It's a frap. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I'm just trying to learn. I don't know these things.
Oh, right. Because
I'm new.
What type of phone do you have?
I have a Moto X.
That sounds fancy.
Oh, it's a nice phone. It's a really nice phone. I really like it.
Yeah.
But my phone before that was kind of app-free, like free of apps.
Rather than
being free apps, it was just app-free.
You've got a very interesting phone. Now, here's what your phone does. When you take your phone and you put it on silence, it will only make noise 5 times during a podcast.
Although it's a weird... I don't know what I did to it. It has a setting called meeting.
Yeah.
And if you have a meeting, it will silence itself for that meeting.
Right.
And it's worked forever. But recently,
why
it
isn't
stopped
it just
working.
Called "Shut Up, You Face" or something? And I don't know. Shut it up for a while, because it, like every time we're well, doing a podcast, and it's like
I can do that manually.
Hey Dave, hey Dave,
yeah,
Dave, Dave, it's yeah. me, your phone. Yeah. Hey yeah. Dave, yeah. Dave, Dave.
What?
Oh, it's
what?
Weird. I put it on silence, and then you always like look at it and go, "It's weird. I put it on silence." Then you put it right back down again with doing nothing, and then like 10 minutes later. Huh. I don't know why that's happening. Look at it again. Again, no alterations done to it at all.
I'm just curious why it's not. It's strange. Because, like I say, it's supposed to
I know
show
it's
me,
supposed to.
Show me I'm in a meeting.
Yeah.
Phones are weird. That's all I have to say about it. I mean, I know it's me. It's the
I was going to go, I don't think it's the phone's fault.
It's technology that I don't understand.
I think there's a large amount of nerds that put this technology together that tried to make it very simple. And no. And
I don't know. I don't know why it's not working. Like, another thing is it works. But yeah, I have it on manual mute. But I don't like that because then I forget to unmute it. So, like this morning, for instance, I didn't wake up in time because my alarm was muted. So I got up 10 minutes.
Right.
Before
it was saving its time until we were in the middle of a podcast.
Yeah.
So it could go off then. That's when
crazy.
It does.
Yeah.
It's a child that wants attention, but not the good kind of
exactly.
attention. You know why? Because your phone's going, I'd prefer to sleep.
Mm.
You know, sleep's more important because it knows you. It's been around you long enough.
It knows how much I value sleep.
Yep. And maybe while we're doing a podcast, maybe you're starting to nod off a bit, and that's when it goes a little bit of the alarm. And then, oh, now you're fresh as a daisy again, telling more Beatles facts.
Sure. More Beatles facts. That's right. Oh, that's something we didn't talk about in the show.
What was that?
Power Pop. I wanted to go a little bit into that.
What is Power Pop?
Well, Power Pop is a musical, what we call it, genre that is kind of Beatle-based. So bands who really like the Beatles.
Uh-huh.
And like the Beatles kind of became uncool in the early 70s, you know, and people kind of turned away from poppier sounds to kind of heavier sounds, like
so
Black
Beatles,
Sabbath.
The Beatles were unpopular for like about 5 years, maybe?
Not that they were unpopular. I mean, they still had people listen to them, but
yeah.
I would say like uncool.
All right.
You know what I mean? Like the worst thing you can be. Like it's one thing to be unpopular, but it's worse to be uncool.
Real
you know
L7,
I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the kind of the sounds of the Beatles, and I would say the early sounds of the Beatles became passé. The Abbey Road sound, you know, carried on, lingered through the 70s for a long time. But bands who really like that mid-60s sound or the kind of beat combo sound,
mm-hmm.
you know, it just was not cool to be that way. So if you were at all interested in that sound or wanted to replicate it, you're pretty much guaranteed failure. So you had bands like, I mean, they had some success, like the Raspberries would be an example of a power pop combo from the early days. Big Star would be another example of that. People who were kind of drawing from that early period of the Beatles and sort of making it their own kind of sound. And then you can carry on through time. Like we had a listener talk about Cheap Trick. They had been the example of power pop. And there's lots of it out there. And so it's kind of like Beatle, a certain kind of Beatles sound kind of updated into the 70s or 80s or whatever. And it's still a popular sound nowadays for bands to kind of replicate a power pop. Like a power pop act would be like Sloan would be an example of a power pop group, a modern one.
I enjoy some Sloan.
Waitresses don't, but...
okay, that's
okay.
No,
we're allowed to have.
No,
we can have deep cuts.
No, here's what this sounded like to me. It sounded like you were talking about a band called Waitresses Don't.
Oh, okay.
It was like some sort of like tribute to the band, the Waitresses, and this one's just called Waitresses Don't.
Okay.
And they do covers of all the Waitresses.
What song do the Waitresses do?
Oh boy! Oh, I know this one. This is not a hard question.
Were they kind of a power pop?
God damn it. Okay, I am actually.
You're going to look it up now?
This one I am going to look up. You vamp for a little bit.
Sure.
There's no way I'm not going to look this up.
So it was, you know, it was a popular kind of subgenre through the 70s. Like there was a label called Bomp Records that kind of almost single-mindedly, handedly dealt with power pop and kind of kept the flame alive through the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was never like a super popular genre, it was kind of like you're guaranteed a certain amount of anonymity you know, no one caring about you. Oop, some sort of street riot.
Yep, there's street riots going on outside.
And so, you know, like I say, like Todd Rundgren would be another example. Just people who, in his early part of his career, would be an example of people who kind of mined that early sound of the Beatles. And XTC, I think, would be kind of be part
I'd
of that.
I'd say the Beatles. I'd say XTC. Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely had a Beatles song.
Okay, all right. Now, the Waitresses, Come On Songs, See Y'all. Christmas Wrapping. What the heck?
Okay, that's one, yeah.
All right, Christmas Wrapping.
Is that one that
goes, here's
Merry
the
Christmas,
one. Here's the
Merry
one.
Merry Christmas.
Nah, yeah.
That's the Waitresses.
I know what boys like.
Oh, I know what boys like. Both those songs are kind of chants because Merry Christmas is a very chanty song as well.
There we go. All right, we've asked and answered.
We've asked and answered.
We don't often
the
look things up, but that was just going to bug us for forever.
That was bug you. I could care less.
Yeah.
Glad you spent that time. Glad you wasted that time.
Well,
way to go.
Okay, well, you're the one who brought up Power Pop.
Yeah, Power Pop is interesting because it can be very good or very bad. It's, I don't know why. Is this going to be very interesting or very boring? And so you can have bands like the Bangles that were very interesting and brought something kind of new to it. And then you can have other bands that like the Shoes, maybe. I can't really think of any off the top of my head, but it's just, it's okay. You know, you just forget about it. It's not that interesting.
Now, how about the Mini Pops? What about them?
What about them?
What's what was the deal with those guys?
Well, they have nothing. I mean, it's just an exploitation of children, isn't it?
How's that a thing? Like, why would you want, okay, as a human being, why would you want, those of you who don't know, Mini Pops were a series of albums where children would sing popular songs of the day.
Yeah.
Okay, one, you're a popular song of the day.
Yeah.
Why would you want to have children
singing
your song?
Well, they were still doing it, like, when Britney Spears was the thing, they still had Mini Pops.
Yeah, Oops, I Did It Again.
Yeah.
But, like, wait a second, let's get 8-year-olds to sing that. Like, isn't that just a strange thing? Period. Doesn't that like really take the wind out of your song? Like, isn't that wrong? Like, and first of all, who's buying it?
It seems weird.
And two, who's selling it? Yeah. Like, who wants to make their song that? Like, is there enough money to be made to make it worthwhile?
I think who's selling it was kind of like the K-Tel.
Oh, I know K-Tel was. Yeah. I'm just amazed they got the rights to all of these popular songs of the day.
You just pay money. There's no one cares.
Yeah.
So you just pay money.
Like, the Chipmunks got a lot of songs too. Like, when the Chipmunks went punk, it just felt like, well, punk doesn't care anymore.
Yeah, punk doesn't.
You know, if the punk bands are now selling their songs to the Chipmunks, that era is done.
I don't think you can stop that from happening, actually. I don't think you can, like, stop someone from covering your song.
Really?
Yeah.
How's that possible?
Well, because it's not your performance. It's their performance of your song.
I know, but you own the song, right?
Sure.
Like, someone owns the song.
They're paying for it, you know?
Yeah, so if they buy the rights to the song off someone who owns the song.
No.
What do you mean?
They just have to pay, like, royalties. They don't have to, like, buy rights to do it.
What?
Yeah.
So, Dave, you write a song,
yeah,
and it's called the Dave Time Jamboree.
Yes.
And you sing that song, and it's a popular song among the kids.
Very popular. It's a song called the Dave Time Jamboree.
Now, are you telling me the Chipmunks can just put out an album and have, like, as the number one song, the Dave Time Jamboree?
Yeah.
Okay, Dave, let me ask you this question.
Have no say over it.
As a Beatles fan, can I put out an album called Yellow Submarine? And can I just do all the songs from Yellow Submarine, and it's Yellow Submarine?
Yeah.
Like, and I just have to pay?
Yeah.
Like, when they come knocking, I just got
to
give money?
Yeah, you have to call, like, Yellow Submarine and other songs.
And I could just do that?
Yeah.
I don't think that's true at all.
It's
that
totally true.
That can't be true.
Who, what are you,
Dave,
talking about?
Let me ask you this question.
Sure.
Okay. Can I do, can I do?
There are over 250 covers of something.
Let me ask
George Harrison's song.
I understand that.
Do you think he approved all of those people to cover his song?
I think the person that owns that song approved.
He owns that song.
Yeah, then I think, like,
he owns it outright.
Then I think the person that he got to get.
No, he doesn't have to. No one has to
do
that.
They don't go directly to him. Like, he's got a business person, or he did.
They don't have to ask at all. They just have to pay for it, for the right to use it.
Okay, look, let's, how about this? Now, I want to do a sitcom, Dave. And what I want to do is I want to call it The Dyke Van Dyke Show.
Okay.
And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to do old episodes of Dick Van Dyke.
Okay, backwards.
But I'm going to just do them to the left. I'm just going to
do... He falls over the ottoman, out the door.
Right. Can I just go and do episodes of The Dick Van Dyke Show on TV? Can I just do that and then just go, I guess I owe you some money. How much is it? Peel off some bills. There you go.
Well,
that's a possibility. I can do, like, relatively happy days, and I can just do happy days.
The control of how songs are distributed is different than how, like, books or film or television is distributed. It's a different mechanical idea,
listen,
right?
We have a
so
lot of
anyone can do on the street can sing
that
something.
I understand.
Anyone can on a record sing something.
Really?
It's just that something on that record, money goes from that to George Harrison.
Now, what? How's the process? Like, I sing. Okay, so I sing Yellow Submarine on an album.
Yeah.
Do I then get a letter in the mail? Well, I'm dating myself, aren't I?
Yeah.
Do I then get an email from whoever owns that saying, like, you owe us some money right now? Or does that automatically kick in?
What happens is, I can only speak, like, I could be kind of wrong. It'd be kind of interesting to get, like, say, David M. on the show and ask him these questions. Now, when he does
we have a lot of musician friends.
When he does a show, when he does a concert, when he does a live show,
okay,
he has to fill out a form for the Canadian, whatever it's called,
Right, saying he'll be walking on tables, and he may actually go into the bathroom with a microphone and sing directly to you while you're on the toilet.
He has to
that might occur.
He has to indicate all the songs that he performed in in the show, and he mails that to
SoCan?
To SoCan, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And he'll get money from SoCan for songs that he performed himself, even his own songs. He'll get some money back from SoCan.
Okay.
Because there's a pool of money that comes down to artists. And I assume that part of his fees pay for mechanical royalties to go to the artist whose songs he performs in his show.
So if David wants to do David Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band,
he could easily do that.
He can do every song on Sgt. Pepper.
Yeah. Yeah,
really.
Just the same way the
Beatles. Does this seem correct, everybody
else? Just
the
same way the Bee Gees could do a whole film of Beatles songs.
Okay, now
and the Beatles had no say over it.
Oh, I'm sure there was something. No. There's no way
There's nothing they can do to stop it.
That can't be.
There's nothing.
That couldn't have happened without
permission. They're all different songs. They're not using the Beatles songs.
Understood.
They're not using the Beatles performances.
Okay, so Across the Universe happens. That show.
There's nothing they can do to stop it. Absolutely nothing they can do to stop that.
Okay, boy. Okay, listen. This is one of those times where we have these moments sometimes on our show where we know that you're yelling at the podcast. And it's usually me that's right. Usually. But I could be wrong on this, but we have a lot of musicians out there.
Usually right. Psst. Anyway, go on.
Okay.
Selective memory.
So, yeah. they're all recorded. We can roll the tape.
Let's go back.
So is Dave right about this or am I right? Please go to thesneakydragon.com and let us know.
Yeah.
Because this doesn't seem like possible. Why? And how much would that cost? Like if I wanted to do an album that, with all the songs from the Beatles, I want to do my own white album and I do all the songs.
Yeah.
How much is that going to cost me?
I don't think it doesn't cost you anything.
What? It doesn't cost me anything? I can put together a white album. I can use all of the songs.
So mechanical royalties from your album sales go to the Beatles.
That's how it works. Yeah. I don't have to pay nothing.
No.
What the hell, man? I do a production of Our Town.
Yeah.
I've got to pay like through the nose for that. But you're telling me I could, instead of doing Our Town,
because
I could go on stage and I could just do all Beatles songs. Yeah. I could do a musical and I could just put all Beatles songs in it.
Yeah.
And I could now just like pay because, royalties
because
and I'm
the
fine?
Origins of the music industry are not in records.
Uh-huh.
And they're not in live performances. The origins of the money is in sheet music sales.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the money was. So when you sold your music to people's houses and to other artists to sing your music, you made your money through the sales of sheet music.
Understood.
So that's still kind of the driving force of the music industry. You know, the fact that, you know, you would have lots of people everywhere doing versions of your song. So if you wrote, you know, Sentimental Journey, all these different performances of Sentimental Journey earned you money, and different people recording Sentimental Journey earned you money. And the radio playing Sentimental Journey earned you money. And television shows using Sentimental Journey earned you money. It all flows in from that. Mm-hmm. A play is different. A play does not have any sales outside of, like, you know, there's just no way to regulate having, like, a per person.
If I put songs from the Beatles in a movie,
yeah,
I've got to clear that first.
Oh, yeah, there's clearance. That's different. Yeah, movies are different. Well, maybe you're right. So Sgt. Pepper, the film, would be different. But as long as you pay your clearance fees, there's nothing they can say to stop. They can't tell you no.
They can't tell you no.
No.
So I could do a porn.
As long as it's your version of the song.
I could do a porno of on Yellow Submarine.
You couldn't afford the money to
get people to have sex.
No, you couldn't afford the amount of money it would cost you to put Beatles songs into your porno, but okay.
Oh, is there a set amount?
It's expensive to
put actual Beatles songs. Is it more money for... Okay, who sets these
prices?
But
if you're singing your own songs,
No. Oh, no, I got you. No, I'm saying like, but if I sing Yellow... If we're having the couple who are having sex and they're singing Yellow Submarine while that occurs...
I don't know if you have to pay... If you have to pay a clearance to have someone else sing, like, let's take an example of...
Oh, boy, that does not sound
take an example from The Aquatic Life of Steve Zissou. In that movie, the
David
guitar
Bowie
player
songs.
Is playing all David Bowie songs throughout the movie.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting in that is that that guy who's playing is getting money as the arranger of those songs.
Yeah, yes, he should. It's good.
David Bowie's getting money as composer. That guy's getting money as the arranger.
Yeah.
So David Bowie's getting a mechanical royalty
for
those songs being used in the film.
Do you believe then that Wes Anderson did not approach David Bowie beforehand or the people that published David Bowie's music and say, hey, we're going to be putting this in the movie?
Probably not. There's no need to. Why would you want to put a potential roadblock in your way?
Okay, those of you that are out there, again, musicians and or entertainment lawyers,
sure.
Just let us know.
Yeah, please.
What
all the entertainment lawyers who listen to Sneaky Dragon.
I know one
please.
Does. Oh, I know one, oh, okay. One does. Possibly, I got an ex-girlfriend of mine who's a lawyer. She may listen to the show. Possibly, I don't know.
Bitterly.
No, she doesn't. She's happy. She's happy. She's great. Everything's fine. I don't have a lot of bitter exes. Things are nice.
I do.
I break up clean, man.
Oh, I'm terrible.
Generally.
Terrible.
Are you?
All of mine were just car crashes.
Oh, like terrible. Actual car crashes. I actually that's a terrible way to break up.
I had to try to kill them all. This, yeah. I told you.
You don't pick up signals. And like the only, like you can't even pick up traffic signals. No. You don't understand them. It's like, well, time to drive. It's a red light. I don't understand signals through the windshield. And that's how you break up.
She should have been wearing a seatbelt.
She was. That was the thing.
Oh, that was a problem. Mm-hmm. I wasn't. I went through the windshield. Yeah, no, they're all like lingering, just so terrible because I wanted to break up, but I didn't want to tell them I wanted to break up.
Oh, yeah.
So I just kind of showed them I wanted to break up by being a complete asshole.
Oh, that. Okay, yeah. That's no good.
No, it's terrible. It's horrible behavior.
Okay, you know what? Here's the thing. So you know how, in theory, dad should sit down with their sons and have the talk?
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, mine didn't.
Nope, mine didn't either.
Nope, good for us.
Mine wouldn't even teach me how to shave.
Well, he wanted you to have a nice thick beard. He knew that beards would be popular at this point whatever. In history. He went, hey, you know what, in the year 2014, if you don't shave now, you're going to be the guy with the coolest beard yeah, in right. 2014. Sure. And I know you can't grow a beard great, but by that point, it'll be fantastic.
Right. Right now, you look like a billy goat.
Yeah, he wants you at to be time. A lumberjack.
Sure.
But here's what I think dad should do, and possibly moms should sit down as well, and go like, here's how... you break up with somebody nice.
Okay.
Here's how you date. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, because no one tells you as a kid how to date at all.
I know.
You know, you watch TV and every show is about dating. And it's all just lying to each other.
But it's all high maintenance too. Like you know, I couldn't drive in my teen years. So, mm-hmm. To me, the idea of asking a girl to go out somewhere and then take the bus was mortifying. So I just never did.
Well, they used to have all those 1950s style movies about like how to date. Mm. And you go like, aha, it's hilarious. Yeah, but
that's
you
helpful.
Know, better than watching, you know, a TV show sitcom. And it's like these little horny toads, you know, showing you how to date. It's better to actually find out how to date. What should you do on a date? What should you do on a first date?
Yeah.
What are you supposed to talk about? Who knows? Yeah. You don't know. And like, it's not working out. How do you break up without being a jerk?
That's even better to know.
Yeah, it's just go like, you know,
It takes a lot of bravery. I didn't have the courage to say to someone that I still felt some affection for, I didn't want to hurt their feelings, so I just made it worse. But I was trying to be, I was being a wimp and a baby.
But you probably never,
and an asshole.
But you probably never
and
talked.
A dick.
Okay, that's fine.
And a baby.
That's a good thesaurus work there. you're not a loss for words, except when you repeated that one at the end. That was a shame. But like,
did I mention baby?
It wasn't the kind of thing that you talked about with your male friends either. Like, no. Like you know, you might talk about like, hey, I'm going out with, that's great.
Sure.
You know, how'd you break up with her? You know, and the cool thing is just like, dumb. You know, if you're that kind of jerk, it wasn't that kind of jerk. But like, I had no idea how to break up with people either. Oh, it's terrible. Yeah. It's the worst.
Well, okay, it went in lots of different
ways
for me.
Luckily, time passed, and then I was, then we became friends for the most part.
It was the rare girl that I went out with, and that was terrible because I just didn't know what to do. Then there was the girl who liked me, who I didn't understand, and that was terrible too, because there's this person who's liked me a lot, wanted to go out with me, and I just kept fobbing them off, giving them the cold shoulder, not intentionally. Giving them the high hat. That's exactly right. But I didn't mean to do it. I just didn't understand.
You just bought this hat.
What was going on?
It was very tall.
It was very high. And I
well,
wanted to wear it.
Well, that's why they liked you, because every girl likes an Abe Lincoln dressing
man. A 10-gallon hat. I had a 10-gallon cat hat, and I walked around with it. And a 10-gallon cat.
Yeah.
I had both of them.
Oh, I like a 10-gallon cat.
Yeah.
I'd like to see like that in a Western, just a guy walking around. He's got this enormous fat cat.
I walked
Look at that
on
guy
leash.
With his 10-gallon cat.
I walked it with a leash, my 10-gallon cat. But and there's
the
lots
good,
of...
The bad and the pussy.
So there's lots of girls that, they would be like so mad at me.
Rest in peace, Eli Wallach.
Rest in peace who?
Eli Wallach.
Oh, that's right.
He was the ugly.
He was the ugly and great in that role.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
So lots of girls that are just kind of left... I don't want to say brokenhearted, but just mad at me and upset. And, you know, because they thought that they were being clear. They thought they were telling me giving me some kind of clue. I didn't get it. So I was just friends with them and we were friendly. And then when, you know, times changed or moved on or whatever, then they were just mad.
Okay.
And
so if you could go back in time and you're basically, you've got young you there.
Yeah.
Okay. At your most dumbness. Okay.
I don't think I would change
it. And don't tell yourself the future.
Yeah.
Don't be doing that.
Yeah, don't
go like, no. I'm going to get married, have kids, everything's great. Don't go to be into that.
Okay.
But you want to like say to this person now, here's what you should do on a date and here's what you shouldn't do. What advice would you give yourself back then? What thing do you regret that you could then go, hey, you know what? Girls like you. Maybe something like that. Like, girls like you and here's the signs that girls like you maybe. Something like that. Or like, you know that girl who was holding your hand and sent you a Valentine and then baked you a pie? She likes you.
And decorated your locker for your birthday?
Did they?
Yeah.
There you go.
I didn't get it.
Oh, boy.
I got in a lot of trouble for that one from someone else. They're like, why did you think she decorated your locker, man? I was like, well, I don't know.
She likes decorating?
Because she's a friend. I didn't know. There's no...
Yeah, you decorated your friend's lockers.
I didn't.
Yeah, put some doilies up.
Oh, anyway.
A little, you know, corsage on a locker.
I don't know.
Why not?
I don't know.
Okay, but what would you tell yourself?
I don't know.
You don't know what to tell?
Still? No, I think I was fine date-wise. I was fine. It was after date. So I'd be more like, okay, after the date. Like, better have a better, like, end of the evening.
You know, so what is the normal end of the evening? You go to, you walk
just,
her home?
Yeah, and I would leave.
Or you just go...
I would leave.
Or, well, at least you walked her home, right?
Yeah,
you
yeah.
You did just get off the bus on your stop and just went, good luck, jump.
Maybe.
Maybe you did.
Maybe I did that a couple times.
Yeah, just gave her a buzzer and let her read that on the way.
That's right.
Okay.
Buzzers. Well, it's a good read.
Yeah. You know what? It sounds good to your friends. Like, yeah, then I gave her a buzzer. Whoa, good one, Dedrick. Buzzer, of course, is the newsletter of the bus. Not as good, but it does sound like saying you got a buzzer on your date. Sounds pretty hot.
Actually, I don't think I did that.
You walked her home.
I walked her home.
And then you high-fived.
Basically. Basically.
Yeah, you punched her in the arm and went, good luck, buddy.
I didn't even do that. I was basically walked to the door. Leave.
Smell you later.
I just couldn't understand what was they wanted or saw in me.
Now, you had seen movies at this point where people each other.
But that was them. Like, that was people that were good looking, that people found desirable.
Right.
So that was weird. Like, I just couldn't see that happening to me. Okay.
Did you have any friends that were dated well? Like, you went like, oh, that person's maybe, got their act together.
I wouldn't have seen it.
I had a lot of friends who were the couples that were like the hardcore couples that were the couples.
Yeah.
Like, they were the couples. And then they'd fight in public a lot. And like, if you had a party, they would fight at your party, like really loudly.
Yeah, I was there for
and
some
like,
of
those. And I'm like, oh, that's nice.
Sure.
That's nice. What's the idea with this? Like, I know you're going to be like making out later on or something and you enjoy the passion, but like, oh, that's annoying. I saw a lot of that and didn't care for it.
Mm-hmm. It was actually at one of your parties that a girl who liked me became very disappointed in me and insulted me at the party.
What was the insult?
She said, I thought you were a great person, but you're not.
Oh.
And I was like, ooh, ouch. I am a great person. I didn't realize I was doing something that wasn't great. Sorry. But I think because she liked me.
Is that your comeback?
No, I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything. I was just like, be quiet because this person's mad at me.
Yeah, that's how you do it. Yeah, that's a good point.
But I think because she liked me.
Yeah.
But I wasn't being that person that. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't being that person that's liking her back or whatever.
Now, let me ask you this question. I'm asking you a lot of questions.
Oh, you are asking me a lot of questions.
Now,
I feel like the third degree.
Now, you've only got daughters.
Yes.
I'm so sorry. You've only got... That's a terrible thing to say.
I love my daughters.
You do. They're great. They actually are excellent people. Do you think that guys nowadays are as dumb as we were?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably, eh? Yeah, yeah, that
dumb. Because there's nothing to inform us in a realistic way.
Yeah.
And we don't even have, like... I mean, we don't even have, like, the 50s films as, like, to...
No. You got so much YouTube, but you got nothing explaining this stuff, do you? Like, it feels like you need this, like, Sesame Street takes you so far, right? It's just like, here's how you eat dinner together. Here's how you this. Here's manners. Here's politeness. Here's this. And then after that, you're on your own, buddy. Like, there's these dark years that no one shows you what to do, you know, and sitcoms do. But, again, all sitcoms are based on you lie to the person you like, you get caught, you apologize at the last second. Maybe it works out for you. Maybe it doesn't. Lesson learned. There you go. That's terrible. Like, there's nothing helping you to date.
Yeah.
There's nothing helping you to be social. And it's that is terrible. My my nephew is just turning 12 this week. And I go like, oh, this is boy, howdy. You know, it's just like you want to like sit him down and just go like, all right, here's the thing. But like, of course, deaf ears. You
are
know?
They? Well, I guess it's so dependent because there are boys who are very, very, I can't think of the word suddenly, but, you know, they're very forward. They're very ahead of their age, you know.
Advanced,
And we're already like hound dogs and totally ready for it. I was not, you know, like it took me a long time to...
The
like,
hound dog thing is like a...
It took me a long time to even just get over my elementary school feelings towards girls. Like even through junior high school, I had that kind of ugh girls, you know, cooties or whatever.
I liked girls pretty... Here's what I'm trying to do with my nephew when I see him. Is that because I'm with my wife, I try to make sure he sees how we treat each other.
Yeah.
And this is... And we're affectionate like there and we're not... You know, we're not blah, 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 blah. But you know, we're just like
I was just imagining that.
Yeah, you know, we're just
showing him what's happening.
We're casually affectionate.
Sure.
We're respectful of each other. If we have something we're disagreeing about, I'm very aware when the kids are in the room of like, hey, guess who's a role model? Yeah, we are.
No tongue is what you're saying.
That's right. It's like this is how people treat each other and what have you. But it would be nice, you know, if there was something for him, you know, that's like, oh, you're gonna be at
Yeah.
People are going to be trying to rush you into stuff right now. Mm. And like, you don't, you still like soccer, man. Just play soccer and video games. And I know it's tough to tell a kid, like, don't rush it, you know, because your whole, everything in your body is going rush, 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 rush.
It seems like, well, when I was a child, it seemed like girls were the ones who were rushing it, though.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you would suddenly become this girl, would suddenly become very friendly to you. And you go to her house and stuff. Now,
yeah.
Obviously, if I was smarter, I would have picked up what was happening, but I never did. I never quite understood what was going on. But, you know, that was like them sort of, you know, like they're ready to go. Guys are still kind of dumb.
You know what I'm going to bet is that they aren't. And here's my theory, and maybe okay. I'm wrong. And you know what? Again, this is the problem with two guys talking on a microphone, because probably we're wrong about this. But here's what it feels like. It feels like everyone's the same degree of dumb. But okay, but here's the thing. Girls have to have a certain amount more personal responsibility because they can get pregnant. Mm. So they are told.
Oh, I didn't mean it like that.
No, 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 I get you. No, I get you. But like, here's what. So there is a little bit of that, of just like there is a need to be a little bit more serious about. You got to know how this stuff works.
Yeah.
Whereas guys, good luck figuring it out, to the point where I didn't figure a lot of stuff out till way too late. But what I think happens with the girls is, how do you get power as a guy? There's a whole bunch of different ways to get power as a guy. You can be successful in school, in sports. You can be the cool kid. You can be the funny kid. You can be this. How do you be successful as a girl? One of the ways is, you know, you've got the boyfriend.
Yeah.
You know, that's a way. So it's like, I've got the boyfriend that's the good boyfriend to have. Not as much with the guys. The guys is almost like you're dating a couple of girls, and that's cool. But the girl is, get the good boyfriend, and that's a source of power.
Yeah.
You know? And so before they know what they want or what they're doing, they're knowing, this is what I should do, and that will give me status. And so I'm going to flirt with this guy, but I don't know what I'm doing, and definitely this octopus doesn't know what he's like now on the road, and he can't make his way across. He doesn't know what he's doing. So it's just all a nightmare.
No, I hear what you're saying.
How do we fix it, Dave? How do we fix it all?
Well, okay, two things. One is, we lived through it. So
We did.
So I think we could amend it slightly, but I don't think, you know, I don't feel like it's completely broken. That, you know, I think part of growing up is going through these sort of experiences, whether for good or bad. And I had good experiences with girls, and I had bad experiences with girls, and mostly at the same time. So, you know, it's, you know, like when you were saying, would you go back? And I almost feel like, no, I wouldn't. I mean, you know, obviously in some way, some part of my mind, I often think to myself, gee, I wish I would have known what people were saying. Like, I wish I'd known why that person said that. I wish I'd known why that lady in my paper was so interested in me, you know, but it's too late now.
Wait, are you talking about older lady?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good that you didn't.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it is, but...
You know why?
She was very interested.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
But
I
didn't pick it up. I look back now and I'm like, oh, interesting. That's what was going on.
How old would you say
I was a teenager. No, was she? She was would have been 30s.
Okay, that's great. Now, as a fellow in your 40s, listen to me finish this sentence.
As a teenager.
No, let me finish this sentence. Okay, so as a person in your 40s, say there's a lady at work and she's in her 30s. Yeah. That's not unreasonable. There she is.
Yeah.
Hello, lady in your 30s. We're friends.
Sure.
And she says to you, "Hey, I banged the paper boy last week." What do you think of her? You think she's the creepiest thing to ever come? And inviting you to Christmas dinner, I guess, like I did last year. Mm-hmm. No, I'm putting you on a sex offender list. You're creepy. Get out of here.
Yes.
Yeah, awful.
I will agree with you.
Good. Okay.
I'm just saying that, you know, there's, you know, and with, you know, people with girls.
I'm going to say, with great power comes great responsibility.
When you're doing a paper route, Ian, there's a lot of responsibility. No, you know, and there's just girls that I maybe would have been interested in. And I can look back now and say, oh, that's why she put her head on my shoulder at that movie.
Yeah.
It wasn't that she was really scared.
She was tired.
She was actually maybe saying something that I didn't quite get.
Yeah.
You know, and so in some ways, I kind of wish that I had picked those things up. But at the same time, whatever. Because I got to go home and draw. I got a lot of drawing done in those days. I had a lot of energy to draw. And, you know, so... You know, if I had been messing around more,
I wouldn't have known three-point perspective. Yeah, I wouldn't have known it so early.
And I wouldn't have got as much writing done.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of energy that I put into other things.
Look how good I am at math.
Sure.
Look at this. Check this out.
Well, you know, if I'd had a successful romantic dating life at high school, would I have started the Footlights Club? No, I would not have, because I would have been busy with other things that were, you know, part of that world, you know, that my time would have been consumed with girls
perhaps.
Dating and going out with people and parties and all that kind of stuff. And I avoided all that, you know.
Unless you dated someone who was really good at time management, in which case you get more done.
I'm married to someone who's really good at time management, and it has not helped me.
Well, the time management is you stay asleep until I'm done with the paper. That's the time management.
That's your time management.
And then it goes on to that
one. No, Lisa is the greatest time manager I've ever known.
You know who's also a good time manager?
Who's that?
Me. That was 1 hour. We've done our show. Everybody. If you think Dave's cute, let him know.
No, it's okay. Come on, guys.
He can't
read talking about the past.
Are we talking guys? Past. Okay, guys. If you think Dave's cute,
yes. You can also let me know.
Let him know.
I really can't read that.
You can't read it?
No.
You can't read that
much? I can't read.
Wouldn't it be nice if, like, in the morning, that instead of, like, you reading the paper, you're just reading all the people that like you?
Just, like, isn't that what Facebook is?
Yeah, it's nice.
Well, everyone likes me on Facebook.
Everyone does like because they can only hit like. There's no other thing.
There's no other thing to hit.
That was a great thing Facebook did, by the way. Mm-hmm. That was one of the smartest things. Was really, it's not upvote, downvote.
Yeah.
No, sir. Upvote, that's it,
that's
vote.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, smart.
People have asked for other ones. Like, why can't there be a dislike button? Like,
because of jerks that like you suck. That are asking.
That would suck.
Yeah, you dick. That's your thing. You could write something underneath if you want going, this stinks.
Yeah.
You could, but like.
Then your name's there.
If you're the kind of guy that asks for a downvote. The hell with you. Exactly. But by the way, if you feel like you can downvote us if you want, that's fine. You can tell us how you really feel about the show. That's also good. We're at sneakydragon.com. That's our message board.
We are there.
We are also on Facebook, which we just mentioned.
Let's get a little too excited.
We are also available to be listened to on Stitcher.
Mm.
We are also reviewable on iTunes. And hey, folks. I don't know if this is still going on, the Georgia Strait thing, David?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I don't know when it ends, but...
If you go to Strait...
Okay, here's the thing, though, everybody. If you go there, apparently you have to answer, like, 30 questions.
Yes.
So...
About your personal town. Life, and it get more and more personal.
A lot of them about your relationship with the Sasquatch. I found that strange.
Like, how
did they know? That's what I was wondering.
That's right.
How did they know?
Yeti or not, here I come. Here's the thing. You got to answer a couple of questions. But, you know, just answer them. It's fine.
Okay.
Make them ups, you know, if you
That's
want.
That's true.
And there's nothing wrong with you. Like, who's your favorite Vancouverite? Dave Dedrick. There. Boom. You've just done it.
I thought we agreed that was Jeff Ellis.
Who's your favorite? Yeah. Who's your favorite veterinarian? Ian Boothby. You know, who's your favorite podiatrist? Dave Dedrick. Look, no one knows. Yeah. Who's your favorite masseuse? Dave Dedrick.
Elliot.
Elliot is your favorite masseuse?
Elliot masseuse. He's on the lease.
What does that mean?
It's okay. Younger people will get it. The young kids will get it.
Okay. If you're a young kid, don't listen to this show. This is a lot like the creepy lady in the newspaper.
I'm not
thing.
That young. Just, you know, people of a certain generation will get it.
Okay. All right, youngsters.
I put it out there for them.
All right. Those of you that are youngsters, you know, who know to work on the internet, yeah, go to straight.com and vote for us for best podcast
if you feel
like it. Or go to iTunes and, like, give us a review or, like, say you like the show or something. That also helps us. We are also on Twitter at sneaky_dragon. We'd love to hear from you there. Any way you want to communicate with us, we're happy to hear from you. And later this week, on Wednesday this week, our final Completely Beatles comes out. So, you know, if you like the Beatles, listen to that. And if you haven't listened to the show, you listen to the past episodes as well.
Sure.
Also available at sneakydragon.com. Dave, anything else you want to say out there to any ex-girlfriends? Do you want to just apologize
A blanket apology to the girl.
For what you did on the blanket.
To the girl I broke up with on the bus because she was sitting gape-jawed. Apologies to the girl that really liked me. And kissed me in the mouth that time, and I did not reciprocate because I was too scared. Apologies. Okay, that's enough.
No, one more, please.
I got to think. Okay, apologies to the girlfriend that we went to the same party, and I did not speak to you the entire night that we were at the same party. I did not say a word to you. I don't know why did I not say a word to you. It was so dumb. But I didn't, and I'd like to say sorry. That was me sitting watching Friday the 13th on the video. With some other people, and I did not pay any attention to you when you arrived, when you stayed, or when you left. Fucking asshole. Don't know why. It was weird.
All right.
I wasn't mad at her. I just felt like it was awkward, and I didn't know what to say.
Oh, don't make any excuses now. You've made the apology. Okay. Just, like, let it sit there. By the way, if any of you want Dave to
apologize... That was not a clean breakup, by the way.
All right, that's cool. If any of you want Dave to apologize to you for past sins, just go to our website, sneakydragon.com, and ask Dave to apologize. For you. And you know what? If you do that, we'll send you an I Blame Dave button.
There you go.
By the way, that is available to any ex-girlfriends of Dave.
Yes.
Any ex-girlfriends of Dave that write us will get an I Blame Dave button right away. You know, so that deal is open to anyone who has been broken up with by Dave.
Luckily, there's not that many ex-girlfriends.
We will see. Okay, everybody, thanks for listening. I've been Ian Boothby.
And I've been Dave Valentino Dedrick.
Take care of yourselves.
Bye.
Bye. That girl I punched in the face.